Good morning and welcome to our service for Sunday the 7th of March, which has been provided by Jeff Lomas. And the reading this morning is from John 2 verses 12 to 22. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples. There they stayed for a few days. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days." But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Predicting the weather is tough sometimes. A group of Sioux Native Americans living in South Dakota asked their tribal chief if it was going to be a cold winter. He said, "I'll get back to you." So he used his cell phone and called the National Weather Service, and they said they were pretty sure it would be a cold winter. The chief told the tribe, "It's going to be cold. Start gathering firewood." The members of his tribe asked him again, so he called the weather service again and got the same answer, and the chief went back and said, "Keep gathering firewood for a cold winter." After a few weeks, a member of the tribe asked him again if it was going to be a cold winter. So for a third time, he called the National Weather Service. This time, the meteorologist said, "Chief, we are now certain that it's going to be one of the coldest winters we've ever had." The chief said, "What makes you say that?" The meteorologist said, "The members of the Sioux tribe are gathering firewood like crazy." Jesus wasn't making a weather forecast. He makes some amazing forecasts about the future, some of which still haven't taken place. But unlike some weathermen, you can be certain his forecast is accurate. And today we're looking at the prediction Jesus made at the beginning of his ministry, about the end of it, the events leading up to it and beyond. The first prediction was prompted by a question from the temple officials in Jerusalem, which itself was prompted by a most extraordinary action by Jesus. He lost his temper. Well, not really. Actually, he got angry. Something happened while Jesus was there that made him angry. It seems a bit strange. This wouldn't have been his first visit to Jerusalem for the Passover. He was a good Jew and would have carried out his Jewish duty every year since he was a youngster. Now, we view anger as a sin, but Jesus never sinned, and most people picture Jesus as being passive and far too loving to act in anger. Remember gentle Jesus, meek and mild. We mustn't change the nature of this incident and suggest that Jesus wasn't really angry, nor can we dare assume that his anger was something personal and therefore a flaw in his nature. Neither of these assumptions would be accurate. When Jesus arrived at the temple complex, it had appeared that the first thing he noticed was the Gentile court filled with money changers and merchants selling animals for sacrifice. As he looked on the scene, Jesus became angry and took a whip, spun it in the air, causing confusion that sent money flying across the stones of the temple. Some of the officials came running to see what was happening and saw Jesus standing there with a whip in his hand. "Arrest him. He drove our animals out and turned over our money tables. But worse than that, he spoke blasphemy. He called this temple his father's house." What was happening that caused Jesus' reaction? There before him in the outer court, the Gentile court, was a sight that stirred him to his innermost being. Hundreds of animals with all their sounds and smells and salesmen barking out advertisements concerning the quality of their animals. The prices would have been high, the queues long and the pressure great to present a quality sacrifice at the temple. Salesmen took advantage of this situation. The money changers who exchanged all foreign currencies for shekels, which were required as a temple tax, charged exorbitant rates, rates that were indecent, unfair and ungodly. And Jesus saw this, he became angry. he became consumed with rage. And the disciples were reminded of Psalm 69, verse 9. Zeal for your house will consume me. The word consume means to burn up. But perhaps even in those tense moments, the temple officials felt they had met a man of great authority, for they said, "What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" In other words, "Okay, friend, you better have a good explanation for what you've just done." Jesus replied with words which astounded his hearers and dumbfounded them for a while. "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." To take him 46 years to build it, and he was going to build it again in 3 days. Nah, John tells us that Jesus was actually talking about his death on the cross. Now, they didn't understand that, but some would 3 years later. John started his gospel by saying that the word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. He pitched his tent amongst us. King Herod had completely missed the point of the temple. He spent nearly 50 years building it. He built marble porticos all around it. He built a huge fortress to house the soldiers. It was a wonder to behold. And then in AD 70, the Romans destroyed it completely. And it's never been rebuilt. As beautiful as the temple was, Jesus knew the time was coming when it would be destroyed. And not one stone would be left upon another. This was an audacious claim. The temple was the symbol of the Jewish nation. It was God's dwelling, so they believed it was indestructible as God himself. And after Jesus' death and resurrection, Christians realized they no longer needed a specific place to be in touch with God. Through Jesus, and because the Holy Spirit is available for all of us, we too are temples, places where God is worshipped. So this passage reminds us of an important truth. The presence of God is not about a building, it's not about power or money or success. The presence of God, God with us, is the fact that Jesus emptied himself of all those things and became a servant. He let himself be ridiculed, misunderstood and crucified so we might have life. And then he breathed out his spirit onto us so that God could be with us as we gather around the body of Jesus and as we go into the world to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And as the church, the body of Christ, we are called to love the world the way God loves the world. We are called to love the things that God loves and to get mad when people hurt and abuse the weak and the poor and the outcast. Jesus also made a prediction concerning the future of the temple as he entered Jerusalem for the last time. Luke 19, 41-44. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." The prediction of Jesus came true 40 years later, exactly as he described it. In AD 70, the Roman general Titus surrounded Jerusalem and laid siege to the city. No food went in and any Jews trying to escape were killed or enslaved. And after a long siege, the Roman army attacked and the temple and the city were destroyed. This prophecy was fulfilled exactly as Jesus predicted. History confirms this long-range forecast was 100% accurate. The disciples asked for a sign when some of the end-time things would happen. Of course, nobody except the Father knows exactly when future events will happen. And any time we read about someone setting a date, we immediately know they are a false prophet. Instead, Jesus said we should look for certain trends to be happening. He predicted a rise in disturbing trends of spiritual confusion, wars and rumours of wars, earthquakes and persecution of his followers, all of which are a 21st century experience. Many of the early Christians who were tortured to death died with such peace and contentment that the Roman soldiers executing them threw off their armour and professed faith in Jesus. And they too were then killed on the spot. We may not be facing death for our faith, but when we're criticised or ostracised or laughed at, don't react in anger. Save that emotion for righteousness' sake. Righteous anger, that is. Jesus also made another long-range forecast about the future. He intends to return. and we can be 100% certain that if he said that will happen, that will happen. God bless you all and keep safe. Amen.